The problem with a lot of times when we look at this is we look at who people are as they are today. But I've learned strategies, systems, coping mechanisms to perform in those specific tasks. And that means that I'm actually enjoying myself because I'm in control and I don't feel like I'm guessing.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Goals Do Come True with me, Doug Bennett. Today, I am so pleased to be joined by Matthew Pollard. Now, he's written a couple of books, The Introvert Edge. I got that right, right?
You did.
Excellent. Now, we met because Matthew was speaking at the Million Dollar Roundtable in Miami in 2019, and I was asked to look after him and make sure that he turned up on time for all of the recordings. I had to listen to him speak a couple of times. I had to listen to his preamble. And do you know what? It was the best thing that I did on the whole of my trip in Miami. I got so much from that. The guy talks about stories and how you need to put stories together and how that will make you rock and roll. So, Matthew, thank you for joining me. Over to you. Share with us anything that I've missed on that little bit there.
I think what you covered was great. I always love a personal introduction. And I'm ecstatic that you enjoyed so much my presentation. It was funny. I mean, that was before the whole COVID pandemic and the world all went into lockdown. And I was actually supposed to speak at Million Dollar Roundtable in Dubai after that. And then that one all came to a screaming halt. I think everybody, switched off and said, okay, we can now, do things from home, which is why for the video listeners, you're seeing my virtual studio because we've got a full fit out now because I wasn't allowed to leave the house for like a year and a half. Actually, funnily enough, I was actually just able to visit my family and home in Australia for the first time in 2 years. I used to go back 3 times a year, just this Christmas. So, but things that potentially you may have missed is, people call me the rapid growth guy. And, my books predominantly focus on how introverts can succeed in both networking and sales. And more to the point, they're not second-class citizens in any way, shape, or form. Their path to success is just different to that of an extrovert. And yes, storytelling, I believe, is the heart of any sales pitch. It's the heart of any networking event. But, what I really focus on is introverts not having to become more extroverted to become great salespeople, great networkers, which was absolutely needed in the financial services market. There's actually a process. If they follow a process, they can still sell and network in a way that's authentic to them while still remaining congruent to who they are as a person without the bulldog techniques and the hard closes. That's what bad salespeople use. I mean, even extroverts shouldn't be using those. It's just lazy salesmanship.
Excellent. Excellent. So we're going to touch on that a little bit, but this is a goals-based podcast. So tell me about your big, hairy, audacious goals that you've had or ones that you're working on at the moment.
It's interesting. So what I found, and I can tell you about some of the big goals that I've got going on at the moment, because I have started to create larger goals. But what I find is most people that I speak to always set goals. And, we're recording this interview. I mean, it probably will come up much later, but we're recording this on the 5th of January. You're actually my first interview for the year. And what I find is people set new goals every year. And then at the end of the year, they look back at them and they go, oh gosh, I haven't hit any of those. I've got 4 weeks to hit them up. Never going to do them. They become next year's goals. And every single year, nobody ever hits them. So one of the things that I do with a lot of my clients is I tell them to set what I call self-efficacy goals, which are shorter term goals that are smaller targets. So you can knock them out of the park and actually hit those goals. And then look up and say, well, what's the next goal I want to hit? What's the next goal I want to hit? Now, after a period of time of doing that, you start developing self-efficacy towards goal obtainment and you can set more audacious goals. But if you don't, a lot of people, I've worked with clients that literally it's October and they say, I want to make $1 million by the end of the year. And I'm like, dude, you're making 27,000 last year. It's October. You made 12,000. You don't believe that this is possible. So let's set a shorter term, smaller goal, knock that out of the park, then knock the next one out of the park. Sooner or later, you'll end up hitting your $1 million target probably much sooner than you ever thought. But here's the two things that happen. Firstly, it becomes believable that that's possible. And then secondly, what I find is the goal and the how actually shift. The number of times I've worked with people that say, I want to make $1 million. And then as soon as they hit their smaller goal, which might even be just a survival goal of like 57,000 or 97,000, I say, do you still want the same type of business? And they're like, oh gosh, no, I'd hate to do that. Because what we're willing to trade off when we have no money is everything. But once we're now making enough, what we're willing to trade off is far less. And also, you're being presented with more opportunities. I mean, I know for me, I would never have dreamed of the opportunities that are afforded to me now. And if I had set a target when I first started of getting a business to a certain type, I would have had my head down working towards those goals and maybe never looked up to really assess if there was an easier, faster, more efficient way of doing it with less trade-offs to my personal life. Now, if you're asking me what I do now, well, now I have the benefit of quite a large team and a great support network. So some of my goals that may seem audacious to the people that are listening, but actually really quite easy to implement is obviously I'm going to always push the sales of my two books or the Introvert's Edge series, which is near on 100,000 copies now to, between them. So obviously I want to hit that 100,000 mark. So that goal is something that's definitely, my team has a focus on. However, the couple of things that we're planning on launching over the next 12 months, which we're super excited about, is obviously we're launching a platform called Introvert You, which is an entire platform. Imagine Netflix meets Udemy, predominantly for introvert education, because my belief is that there are thousands of what I call hidden introvert titans out there. People that are successful, like the founder of BNI, like the founder of Billion Dollar Brand, UGG Boots, that have amazing things to share. But the problem is, while they've written books, while they've created programs, a lot of them, because it's not on a platform with the word introvert on it, people think that they're extroverted and therefore that as introverts, they can't do it. So we're planning on launching Introvert You this year, which I'm super excited about. And we're also launching a new type of networking into the United States called BX Networks, which is going to focus on what I call momentum partner relationships and champion relationships, which are really about getting you out of the hamster wheel of transactional based sales and focusing on what I call momentum partnerships, which is really about creating joint venture partnerships with other people that work with businesses like yours so that you can actually aid each other. And it's not about networking to find that person. It's about networking with somebody that may know someone like that that they're willing to introduce you to. And champion relationships, gosh, they're the people that give you work credibility. They are the ticket out of the hamster wheel. And those are the projects that I plan on not only launching this year, but also making sure they have a substantial member base, which we've got some pretty significant and quite audacious targets for those in the next 12 months.
Excellent. Excellent. You speak very fast, don't you?
Well, I am Australian, and I will tell you that I have learned to speak much quieter and also much slower when I'm speaking in America, and I get practiced at that over time. But you got me straight after getting back from visiting my family that all speak at a million miles an hour. So actually, thank you for mentioning that. I've got to remember to slow down when I'm speaking. I remember you did that after my first presentation. You said, remember, your next audience, it's all people of different languages, and they all the languages are much longer. So can you slow down for the presentation? The first time I was told that, I was speaking to a Portuguese audience, and my 45-minute keynote became 30 minutes on that day. And on top of that, they said, oh, by the way, the language is about 40% longer. So I'm like, so basically it's a 20-minute presentation. I was deleting slides madly until I went up on stage. Not great for an introvert.
But I do love this. I love the expectation that, you know, anybody on a stage, anybody doing well has got to be extroverted. And you've proved and you demonstrate all the way through that that isn't the case. And I love that because, as you say, I mean, there's lots of introverts out there who believe because they're an introvert that they can't do stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And it so surprises me that is still the case, given all the literature that's out there, which is why I'm so focused on getting that literature out. Like I posted on Global Introvert Day, which is the 2nd of January, a full list of all the people on LinkedIn that are out there helping introverts realize their own natural gifts and strategies. But there are people that are working in the introverted space, teaching people how to, you know, be more effective in their career, better leaders. But the truth is, I believe that introverts have the edge, not a disadvantage. I mean, if you think about perhaps the most well-known sales trainer in the world, who would we think of? Zig Ziglar? Well, he's an introvert, right? I interviewed his son, Tom Ziglar, on my podcast, The Introvert's Edge, and he talked all about himself as an introvert and his dad as an introvert. if you think about, as I said, billion-dollar brands, right? Well, a lot of them are led by introverts. You know, everyone from Mark Zuckerberg to, you know, as I said, the founder of billion-dollar brand UGG Boots, the sheepskin boot company. Another great Aussie, by the way. But yeah, billion-dollar brand. And also, he was an introvert. If you think about networking, another thing that introverts definitely can't do, right? Well, the founder of BNI, the world's largest networking group in the world, is an introvert. And then when you think about things like small talk, well, who do we know that it's great at small talk? Maybe Oprah Winfrey, Ellen DeGeneres? Well, both of those are introverts. So why is it that we believe that introverts can't do the things that at the top of every one of these fields, there are a bajillion introverts leading the way? And the answer is that the people that have discovered their path, which is systemizing the things that make them uncomfortable while leveraging their natural gifts of empathy, active listening, and a plethora of other skills, they're the ones that dominate in industries. So what we have to do is stop seeing ourselves as second-class citizens, because what we do as introverts is we put up this barrier of we can't learn. And that's the big difference. See, extroverts, we think they have an advantage, but some might say they're not the best listeners in the world. And some might say they're also not the most empathetic. But extroverts assess themselves, or if they work for an organization, the HR manager comes up and says, hey, by the way, I've noticed that you're lacking these skills. I'm going to send you to training. Maybe they'll send them out to a Daniel Goleman EI course so that they can learn some of those skills. The difference is when we as introverts or HR identify an introvert, they go, oh, poor little Matt. Matt just, he's an introvert. He's never going to be able to learn those skills. Or we think of it ourselves. And because of that, we don't try. Now, I've seen amazing trainers that teach sales. And even I've gone sometimes, oh my gosh, that person's really dynamic. They must be extroverted. We have to learn that just because they're up on stage and they're dynamic, that doesn't mean that they're extroverted, and i.e. therefore the skills may not work for us. We have to identify. I've almost never now, when I meet someone, I never don't ask them if they're an introvert or an extrovert, because every time I assume, I generally find out I'm wrong. There's a guy called Dan Walshmit, and I remember being at the Sales 2.0 conference, me looking at him on stage and going, oh my gosh, I wish I was that great a presenter. And afterwards, you know, we got chatting and, you know, I was talking about my book. He's like, oh, I'd love to endorse that for you. And I'm like, oh, I'm only asking for introverts to endorse the book. He's like, dude, I'm an introvert. And he talked about it for like half an hour about how he practiced and how he rehearsed. Now, the thing was that if he had just got up on the stage and chatted, well, he probably wouldn't have been as dynamic and as well received as an extrovert, because they can do it naturally. But here's the cool thing. When you put someone like me on stage, you're guaranteed the results that you read about in my testimonials, because you're going to get a similar presentation with some customization, because I've rehearsed it, I've practiced it, and I make sure I can absolutely deliver. But with an extrovert, a lot of the times they'll get up on stage and they're like, well, what are we going to talk about today? And now they're going to get chatting, which doesn't work as well. I've had people that are extroverts say, oh, I can never deliver the same presentation more than once, you know, or at least it's never exactly the same. I don't know how you do it. Well, when you're buying somebody to speak in front of your global organization, you want to have a little bit of control over the content. And that's why I think introverts have an advantage even from the speaking stage.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for listening to my podcast. I hope you don't mind me just spending a few moments to tell you about my new book. I'm very excited. It's called Think Simple, Win Big: How to Build the Business of Your Dreams with a Few Simple Goals. And it's a rewrite of my original book, Goals Do Come True. And it's especially available for entrepreneurs, either new entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs who want to get the fundamentals right with their business. So if you are interested in getting your hands on a copy, go to my website, www.dougbennett.co.uk. Anyway, let's go back to the podcast. Wow. Now, folks, I don't know if you felt that, because I'm watching this, right? Okay, I'm watching this guy, and you must have felt the passion, right? When somebody has a passion for something, you can feel it. So I'm going to have to make sure that this video goes out so that you can see the animation, and the joy and the smiles. And I'm sat here smiling as well because I'm really, really enjoying this. Now, I'm not sure whether I'm an introvert or an extrovert. Now, I know that I don't do the same talk every single time that I'm on stage, you know, but I get that. Okay, so what would you say, Matt?
Well, why don't we test this? Because a lot of people evaluate whether or not they're an introvert or extrovert based on how they feel in social interactions. And in truth, I personally love networking now. So one would say if I love networking and if I love, I mean, I love speaking from stage. I mean, try and get me onto it. I don't want to go on stage, but once I'm there, I love it. But here's the thing. One would say that would make me an extrovert now. And the problem with a lot of times when we look at this is we look at who people are as they are today. But I've learned strategies, systems, coping mechanisms to perform in those specific tasks. And that means that I'm actually enjoying myself because I'm in control and I don't feel like I'm guessing, right? By the way, one of the things that I talk about in the first chapter of my second chapter of my networking book is that if you're networking about a business and you're not passionate about that business, if you can't, you know, and I've worked with insurance salespeople that really struggle to articulate their passion, but there was a reason for why they joined that company, why insurance was important to them. And then all of a sudden, as soon as we channel that and we start talking about it, all of a sudden, you know, their energy levels explode and they feel like they're truly helping someone when they're networking because A, they're telling stories and they're not introducing themselves as an insurance salesperson. You know, that's death blow for anyone that's going out networking. There are ways to do it differently, which, you know, I do talk about in chapter 2 of my book and we can go into in here if we have time. But the focal point is because I'm talking about passion, because I believe I'm here to serve, my energy levels are totally different. Also, the way I articulate and the speed that I articulate has a lot to do with the fact that there is nothing you're asking me that I haven't planned, prepared, and perfected over a long period of hundreds of interviews. So what you're experiencing is practice with passion, which comes across as extroversion, but it is definitely not. Right. So it's really important to understand that. So let's talk about what introversion actually is. Introversion is just where you draw your energy. That's it. So for me, when I go to networking events, I love doing it. I love meeting people now. By the way, I've connected with many of them before I even go to the event, which means that for me, networking feels like a bunch of pre-planned meetings as opposed to, oh gosh, who am I going to talk to? Again, preparation is key for introverts. But like a kid that's enjoyed all the rides at Disneyland, when I get home from a networking event, I'm going to hit the pillow and I'm either going to crash and go to sleep or I'm going to put on a hoodie in a dark room and re-energize by watching some television program that I'm not going to remember what it was about in the end. I'm just going to zone out for 30 to 60 minutes. Introversion is just where you draw your energy from. So if you go to a networking event, at the end, you're charged up and you're even suggesting to other people that we go to an after party or, you know, we go and do some other social activity, then you're an extrovert. Now, by the way, your cup can still run full. You become overcharged as an extrovert and then you may need to do a quiet activity. But if you're charged from an initial networking event, speaking from stage, going out and selling, you're likely an extrovert. If, on the other hand, your energy is, you feel it depleting or completely depleted, or you feel yourself slightly more tired, then you're an introvert. You may be the best salesperson in your organization, but if that measure still counts you as an introvert, you're an introvert. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, as I said, you have an advantage. So Doug, on that explanation, where do you feel like you sit?
Well, I used to have the energy to carry on doing things, but, you know, now I'm a little bit older, I'm a little bit more sedate. That's good. Because I would think if I was going to a meeting, you know, if I go somewhere and there's lots of people there, it's like, right, I'm on the periphery, sort of, it's all measured. I'm a little, you know, I'm not going to force my way into anything. But out there in the world, I would say people would think, oh, no, Doug, yeah, life and soul of the party and all the rest of it. And it's like, so there's a bit of a dichotomy there. But I think if I know people, I'm a different person. But throw me into a new environment, this is the stereotypical and doesn't fit with the description that you've just given. It's like, I don't need to, you know, watch TV in a hoodie, and I definitely will not fall asleep after, you know, going out. So that must make me an extrovert, right?
Well, there are a couple of things that I would say. Firstly, you've got to remember that when you're socializing with a few friends, introverts can generally tolerate that really well. It's really the new people situations that you need to think about, right? Because that takes a lot more mental energy. Funnily enough, so does Zoom conversations, because we can't see people's hands, and introverts like seeing people's body gestures. They analyze all that. Not being able to see it, much more tolling. Zoom calls exhaust me much more than phone calls. Thank you very much. For the people in the video that aren't watching the video part of this podcast, Doug just did a dance with his hands for me, so he knew that I was to really help me mentally adjust. But the other thing that I would say is there is a spectrum of introversion and extroversion, and it really does depend on where you sit on the spectrum. For instance, I was very introverted. You know, I had a reading speed of a sixth grader in late high school. I had horrible acne. I got diagnosed with Erlen syndrome, which basically means I put on a magical pair of colored lenses and miraculously I can learn to read. Not like everyone else, but I could start the process of reading. Right? I should have, you know, I took a job straight out of high school in data entry, and if I didn't lose my job just before Christmas, there's no way I would have had the career that I have now. I would have been probably quite happy as a data entry person. I just wouldn't have known what I was capable of. Now, those sorts of situations, I could have probably not really drawn a ton of energy except for the Christmas party and things like that, that I wouldn't have been able to avoid. But now, yes, when I go and do those events, I have a very systematic process for networking, for sales, for public speaking, which, you know, I've outlined two of them in my books. And because I follow that, and it's funny, when I've sold to people in the past, they've said, do you mind if we turn on the video for our Zoom call for a second? They've literally ticked the steps in my sales process. And they're like, if you didn't tick every one of those boxes, we wouldn't have bought anything from you. But you follow your process to the letter, so we want to. I practice what I preach. But you have to understand that if I went to a networking event, the anxiety, without the process, I should say, the anxiety, the stress, it wouldn't exactly, you know, put me straight to bed when I got home. Like, I would be a mess when I was younger without these strategies. So with these strategies, I'm just tired afterwards. Now, if you're less on the introverted scale, then you may find yourself slightly tired. But that doesn't mean you may not be craving more social interaction, but you're still an introvert. If, on the other side, you could be slightly extroverted, which means you kind of would like to continue the party and keep going on, but you may not be the one suggesting going out to the pub afterwards. You may go, though, right? So there are differences in those situations. Now, introverts don't feel obligated to go. It's okay to say no. It's also okay to talk about your introversion. Funny enough, but even before I wrote books on it, I used to talk about being introverted, and extroverts would always protect me. And then when it came time for the after drinks, they always understood when I said, no, I've got a big event tomorrow, I need to recharge, so I'm going to go home. They were like, yeah, no worries, Matt, we'll see you later. Everyone else that didn't admit to being introvert, you're expected to come to the pub. So I got out of a lot of those things. So understanding your energy, understanding who you are, and truthfully, being open and honest about it. I read an article in the Chicago Tribune, or I was interviewed for the Chicago Tribune, about how to survive Christmas. And that was Christmas work parties, family things. And, you know, one of the biggest suggestions I had was make sure everyone, you know, be honest about your introversion. Be honest about the fact that you're there to, that you need to charge up. Because then all of a sudden people don't go, oh, Doug doesn't like me. Why did he leave early? Or why did he go and disappear for a minute? People just go, oh, Matt, yeah, he's just going to do his introverted thing and be back in half an hour. It's so much easier. And I like the half an hour thing because I can then go and play on social media or do the thing that I want to do that is just keeping my head not focused on people. And then I come back and I'm better in 30 minutes. So why wouldn't I do it?
Wow. That's so cool. That really is so cool. I'm beaming all the way through this. Yeah, I mean, I sensed all of your energy when we met back in Miami, and what a place to meet, actually. That was so cool. So I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you for, Matthew, a introverted nugget. So something everybody, if it can be goals-based, that would be great, but a nugget that everybody needs to know that we haven't touched on already, maybe goals-based, that the world needs to know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we were talking about self-efficacy goals earlier. One of the exercises I get a lot of introverts to do is, and I actually talk about this in more detail in one of my other podcasts. It's called The Better Business Coach. It's episode 17. It's called Forget About Goals, Why is the Key to Success? And one of the exercises I get people to do is write 3 business goals, 3 personal goals, 1 selfish to themselves, because sure, that's going to be the one that drives them. And then what I do is I get people to summarize each goal in 250 words or less, including why it's important to you. Here's why. High achievers are really good at writing their goals. But when you ask why it's important to them, all of a sudden they realize they inherited their goals from their mother, their father, I don't know, drunk roommate they had in college. They just hear these things like, yes, that's what I want. I'm going to spend the rest of my life charging after it. But they don't think it through, which is why a lot of times there's this lackluster effort towards going after it. Or especially for introverts, we almost feel incongruent or inauthentic when we're trying to promote ourselves, because we know it's about the fast car or it's about the money. For me, I can't do what I do for the money. If I do, I mean, yes, I obviously like making money, but if I did it for the money, if it wasn't passion and mission based, if it wasn't about seeing a difference in the world or making a change that's important to me, well, then I can't get on interviews like this and not feel anything else but incongruent. So goals are super important, but it can't just be about the Mercedes. It can't just be about the Bentley. It can't be about the apartment with the great view. That being said, you can have those as sub parts of your goals, but then you have to be more fulfilling in what you do. Because in truth, you can make money doing anything. One of the things I tell people all the time is anyone can create a rapid growth business, but there's nothing worse than a rapid growth business with customers you don't like in a business you can't stand on a mission that you really don't care about. So it's so important to really think that through. So what I do is I say, set these goals and then write in 250 words or less for each goal, why that goal is important to you. And what I find is the high achievers realize that those goals aren't that important to them. And then they run off to research for other goals that are meaningful to them. Now, the next thing is, especially people in the finance world, it's all about, I'm going to sell this much product, I'm going to sell this much stuff, as opposed to who I'm going to help. You know, there's a chapter 2 of my networking book, I talk about this guy, Nick, who literally, you know, just every time he introduced himself selling insurance, people ran for the hills. And so he changed the way he introduced himself and we called him the hustle lifeguard. But the biggest thing was coming to that point of passion where we discovered that he didn't really care. I mean, he said, I just want to sell insurance to whoever can afford most of it. But truthfully, he actually got into insurance because his grandfather owned a farm and he hustled for years and then he got sick. His grandfather had to sell the farm. He moved into a small apartment. He just watched his grandfather really die in front of the television for the last 10 years. And when I asked him, so why did that motivate you to get into insurance? I just don't feel like anyone deserves to have that kind of life when they spend all their life creating something that then helps all these other people. And I was like, so you want to help the hustlers of the world? He's like, well, absolutely, yes. And he said, as a matter of fact, when I went through and learned about insurance, I learned about all these products where you could put high cash flow from a high cash flow business into to get a high yield interest rate that you could then invest into, you know, into different forms of other investments. But you need a way to put your cash flow to get that return in the short term, and insurance products are great for that. Anyway, I explain it in more detail in the book. But the reason I mention this is as soon as we got to that, it wasn't, I just want to make money and make sales. It's, I want to help this many small business owners that have created something out of nothing with high cash flow businesses because this is important to me and that's going to allow me to get my money. It's a lot more about serving rather than trying to sell for service for yourself. So the why becomes so important in every one of your goals. Otherwise, especially as introverts, we sound, oh, you need to buy insurance because I want you to buy insurance because I'm dying to buy a new sports car. Or I want you to, you know, I want you to invest with me because if I'm managing your money, I can really afford that penthouse I've been dying to buy. It's horrible, but that's how most people sound, even if they're not using those words. And truthfully, marketing, branding, salesmanship, networking, all of that comes from communicating passion, and passion comes from the explanation of your whys that are associated with your goals. So if you don't connect all of that, then unfortunately you're going to sound self-serving, and everyone listening is so much better than that, which is why I suggest they start with their why inside their goals.
That's why I ask people for their nugget, and we get absolute golden ones like that. Matthew, that was absolutely fantastic. So find out what your why is and build that into your goals. That's the parting gift there. So Matthew, we're going to make sure that, you know, there's links to your books, links to your rapid success program.
Well, here's what I would suggest. And while I appreciate that, my publisher hates me when I say this, people don't have to buy my books. You know, I'm really passionate about helping introverts realize their path to success. So my first book, they can actually download the first chapter at theintrovertsedge.com. And there you can look at the 7-step process that I outline. And literally, if you do nothing more than write down the 7 steps, put what you already say into it, you'll realize, firstly, there's a bunch of things that don't fit. Throw that out. You shouldn't be saying it to customers. You'll realize there's some things out of order. Fix that, which is probably why price is coming up way too soon. And then you'll realize there's some gaping holes, especially in the world of financial services. It's because you're trying to educate way too much and download an encyclopedia of information into a 30-minute meeting that they're never going to take on, and you're not telling enough stories. So you'll learn how to do that the right way. Plus, you'll also learn how to overcome your introversion and feel like you actually do have an advantage, which is important. And that's all in the first chapter. And you can download that at theintrovertsedge.com. And literally just reading that chapter and applying that, you'll double your sales in the next 60 days. You can also go to theintrovertsedge.com/networking, and you can download the first chapter on networking, which will give you the exact, it will give you the steps for networking and help you overcome your belief that you can network as an introvert. Now, that being said, if you are going to grab one of the books, which is available on audio, Kindle, or print, I would recommend The Introvert's Edge to Networking, because there's a great story in there for someone in the financial services connecting with their passion. And I find that so many people, even extroverts in financial services, really struggle to articulate their passion and their mission. And they always, and even though they might be really emotional people, they're so logical in the communication of themselves. And because of that, they really struggle. And so chapter 2 will actually give you a real life example in detail of how someone in financial services was able to do that, or how we were able to get that out of him, and how you'll be able to do it for yourself. So that would be where I would recommend you start. And that's chapter 2 of the book.
There we go. We'll make sure that the links to that is available. Matthew, thank you very much for sharing time with me in your very posh studio. And it's been an absolute pleasure. Our paths will cross again. Hopefully we can get you up on the MDRT main platform instead of in a side room someday. But thank you very much.
COVID stole that one from me, mate, not you. So I will be back there, I have no doubt. But, you know, I appreciate the interview, and I'm dying to do our second interview, perhaps in a few months' time.
Perfect. Thanks, Matthew.
Lovely to meet you.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to review and subscribe on Apple, Google, or Spotify. I'd love to hear about your goals. You can share them with me at dougbennett.co.uk.